Right, should we get the show on the road then?
Absolutely.
Hello and welcome to this, the pilot episode of the MacTuts Plus podcast. We've agreed earlier that MacTuts Plus podcast is quite a mouthful, so I'll be referring it to as the MacTuts podcast from now on. My name's Johnny Winter. I'm the editor of MacTuts Plus. And with me, I have Jordan Merrick.
Hey, Johnny.
Jordan's one of our top contributing authors to MacTuts, and this evening we're going to be talking about backups. In fact, we're recording this, and whilst we're recording this, I'm recording it, and so is Jordan, just to ensure that we do come out with a copy. So we're sort of backing up already, but we'll get on to backups in a minute, because I'd just like to say thank you to Pixelmator, who are sponsoring this first episode of the MacTuts podcast. Pixelmator, if you're not familiar with it, is a beautifully designed and easy to use powerful image editing app for the Mac, which knocks the socks off some pretty heavyweight competition out there. If you do anything with images on the Mac, if you need to do anything with images on the Mac, then Pixelmator really should be your go-to app for that task. Certainly is for me. How about you, Jordan?
Oh, Pixelmator is my default image editor on my Mac. So if I open any type of image file, it opens in Pixelmator rather than Preview. I think it's that good.
Well, it really is good, and it's a fantastic price. If you check it out, have a look at our website, mac.tutsplus.com, or have a look in the Mac App Store and look for Pixelmator. And you might just think, listening to this, that we're just bigging up Pixelmator for the hell of it because they're sponsoring us. But it really is the case that Jordan and I use Pixelmator software every day. So if you're doing anything with images, then I urge you to check out Pixelmator. But anyway, let's get on with the rest of the show. We're talking about backups tonight. And I mean, it's one of these subjects that, you know, if you read anything in the tech media, if you've got somebody in the family who's familiar with computers, they're probably banging on all the time about backing up your data. Do we really need to back up our data, Jordan?
Absolutely. At the end of the day, no one can really predict what's going to happen to the Mac. So, you know, Apple has this almost infamous reputation for being reliable, having great build quality and rock solid software. But, you know, things can go wrong. So the last thing you want to do is accidentally delete a file or, you know, something actually does go wrong to your Mac and the hard drive crash. If you're not having a backup strategy and you're not backing up on a regular basis, then anything you've got on that Mac will go. And that means any of your pictures, music, videos, documents that you've made for work, they can all go in the blink of an eye.
So I think the maxim really is that your hard drive will fail. It's just a matter of time. When will it fail?
Yeah, I mean, I always position backups as it's an insurance policy for your data. You insure your home, you insure your car, you insure your data. You know, it's as much a personal possession as your house keys, as your phone or your wallet.
So what reasons, apart from hard drive failure, would we need to back up? I mean, hard drives are pretty reliable these days. They can go on for years. So, you know, if I like being risky, I don't want to back up something. Is it important I'm backing up, really?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the most common ways people lose data is it's accidentally deleted. You know, you inadvertently move the trackpad, you move your mouse, you flick something to the trash, you press a key combination that you thought was get you to the desktop, but in fact it was moved to trash, or you overwrite a file by saving it with the wrong file name. It does happen. We've all done it. And all it takes is that save. You know, your Mac won't question you again and again. You'll be asked maybe once, do you want to save this change? And if you dismiss that dialog box too quickly, or you don't notice it, but click OK, like we all do, then your data can go. And once it's been written over, there's no way of getting that back unless you have a backup.
Any other reasons why I might want to back up? I mean, you know, I might lose the odd document here and there, but is it really that important still?
Well, with the advent of things like digital photography, our iPhones and camera phones in general, more and more of us are putting pictures on our Mac. I mean, I don't know about you, but my iPhoto library is tens of thousands of pictures. Most of them I probably wouldn't say are any good, but, you know, there's some treasured memories in there. And if I lose my Mac, you know, if I leave it in a coffee shop, then I've lost all of those photos. And, you know, no one can ever say, you know, precious memories or photos of family or even children growing up are replaceable. You know, those are priceless to anyone. So if we lose them, that's a big deal for a lot of people.
Okay, I hear what you're saying now. So we got the accidental deletion scenario. Hard drives could fail in time. Maybe it's just a matter of when. Important documents could be irreplaceable. And if we lose those, that's going to cause us a problem. And family photos, and if the machine is lost or stolen, if it's a portable machine particularly. So I'm sort of starting to see the reasons why we need backups now. Backups, I mean, it's a nightmare to do backups, isn't it?
Well, thankfully, OS X has had some great backup features for quite a while now, since Leopard back in 2006 it was announced. There's been a great utility called Time Machine. It tries to make backups as simple as possible. It really is to the point that it's saying, look, all you need to do is buy an external hard drive or one of Apple's time capsule devices. If you do that, OS X will take care of the rest for you. So something like Time Machine, you plug any type of hard drive into your Mac now and it will prompt and say, hey, you don't have a backup system set up. Would you like to set one up today? Use this hard drive. Once you do that, your Mac is then protected. Time Machine doesn't discriminate. It doesn't ask you to say, when do you want to back up? Where do you want to back up to? How frequently do you want to back up? It just plug and go. You plug in your drive, Time Machine will back up everything, every hour that the hard drive is connected. There are extra options, but it tries to be as dumb as possible. It tries to take out all the control away from you. And some people argue that taking control away isn't necessarily a good thing. When it comes to backups, relying on the software just to say, you know what, just in case, we're not going to give you some extra options that some backup software may have. We're just going to say, we're just going to back up everything for you. We're going to do everything all the time. If you want us to limit the backups, you can go in and change some settings, but otherwise we're going to back up everything all the time to make sure you are protected as much as possible.
Okay, so when you say it's backing up everything, is that backing up the operating system as well, or is it just backing up all my documents?
The great thing about Time Machine is it is everything. It's not just your documents, it's not just files you've specified. Everything is backed up to the point that if you lose some data, you can restore that easily enough with the Time Machine's great interface. If you wipe your system, you have a new hard drive fitted, you can restore from a Time Machine backup. Not just from the previous backup, if you maybe make a change to your Mac and you think, you know what, probably shouldn't have installed that software, probably shouldn't have made those changes, and now, you know, all my graphics look a bit fuzzy, you can restore to a previous date as well. So it gives you all the benefits of a backup system where you can get your recovered files, where you can get any files that you've deleted, but also if you have a complete system crash, you can recover from that as well.
Right, okay. So there's two, if I'm understanding it correctly, there's two aspects to this. You can recover from a complete system crash. I think that means you can migrate to a new machine using a Time Machine backup as well. And you can also delve in and retrieve individual files if you need to. Would that be correct?
Yeah, that's correct. And not only can you just recover files that may be in folders like your documents folder or your downloads folder, but if you, in certain applications such as iPhoto, Contacts, Aperture, you can be within the apps and recover files within them. So Contacts, for example, if you lose some contact information for a friend, you can hit Time Machine, go in there, find the contact information.
So let's suppose I had a very important PDF document sent to me a couple of weeks ago. It was a tutorial pitch, I think, from some chap called Jordan. It was in my downloads folder, and I deleted it. Can I go and get that back using Time Machine? Describe what the interface looks like for me if I was to do that.
Well, the great thing is Time Machine is always running in the background, so there's no interface to see when it's working apart from a little icon in your menu bar. If you were missing this file in your downloads folder, you just head to the downloads folder, enter time machine by using either the application that's in your dock or the menu item again, and click on that, click enter time machine, and everything drops away except the folder you're in and a timeline on the right. You can choose what date and time you want to go back to. You can automatically skip to the last time that folder's updated, find that file, and it's as simple as clicking on the file and hitting restore. You can even preview the file first by pressing the space bar and getting a quick look at the file itself, making sure it's the right one.
So this is a very visual thing. It's very easy to understand. You step back in time in the particular folder you're looking in, and you can see that going back into time. Easy for people not familiar with backups to understand, do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. It's designed mainly to get people backing up, because even today a lot of people don't back up. But going beyond that, it's designed to be as easy to use as possible, and it is designed to be very easy.
So as simple as plugging in an external drive to your Mac.
Yeah, when you do that, and unless you've got Time Machine set up already, whenever you plug in a new hard drive, Time Machine pops up a little box saying, hey, you don't have a backup running.
Is there really any reason why any Mac user should not be using this?
Absolutely not. There are other backup solutions that we're going to talk about shortly, but as a minimum, if you've got a hard drive available to backup for your Mac, then it's a no-brainer.
So Time Machine, can it do anything else?
Time Machine itself, it does a lot. So one of the best options that you've got is multiple destinations. It was a fairly new feature that's been introduced in Mountain Lion, and you don't necessarily have to back up to just one hard drive. You can back up to two if you want to, as many as you want, actually. So, for example, one of the big things people are getting wary of is it's all well and good having this important data backed up, but in the unlikely event something's to happen in your home where your computer and your backup drive is, what do you do if that happens? With Time Machine, you can set up multiple destinations. So you could have two hard drives, for example, set up with Time Machine, and it will back up alternately. You could bring one in every week, plug it into your home. Say, for example, I know you've got a Mac Mini, Johnny. Plug it into your Mac Mini, do a backup, and then you can take it away, leave it at a friend's or family member's house, and bring it back next week. So at that point, you've at least got a weekly backup should the worst happen.
That's as long as, I suppose, as you can be disciplined in taking one of the hard drives off-site, I suppose. But I suppose there is another advantage to that. By having multiple destinations, even if you just have two hard drives plugged into your Mac and Time Machine is backing up to them alternately, you're essentially reducing your chances of losing any data. If your Mac was to fail, or if your Mac was to fail and one of the hard drives hadn't been backing up properly, you have that second hard drive as an option. Each time you choose a backup solution, you're essentially halving your risk of losing your data.
Absolutely. It's redundancy. So your backup is your redundancy for your Mac in case that goes wrong. An off-site backup is redundancy for the entire backup system. So rather than a redundancy for your Mac, it's a redundancy for the location. So if something happens, you've got a backup in another location where you know, it's another physical location that you can pick up that hard drive and carry on where you left off.
Well, that's plenty of information there about Time Machine. If you're running a Mac and you don't have any backup solution at all, then, as Jordan explains, there really is no reason not to be using Time Machine. So get hold of an external hard drive. My recommendation would be a USB bus-powered hard drive rather than one that you plug into the mains, because that will switch on and off with your computer, with your Mac. And it just plugs in one cable and it will be backing up for you. So if you don't do that already, then our recommendation is to do that at the very least. In the meantime, I'd just like to thank Pixelmator again for sponsoring this episode of the MacTuts podcast. Pixelmator is an inspiring, easy-to-use image editing app helping you to create stunning new images and edit existing photos. We've spoken about photos already in terms of backing up. So if you don't back them up, you're not going to be able to edit them with Pixelmator. So Pixelmator team are awesome and always make sure that Pixelmator takes full advantage of the latest Mac technologies. With great new features in every new version, Pixelmator 2.2 is optimized for the new Retina display on the MacBook Pros. has full support for OS X Mountain Lion and is packed with more powerful new features than you can shake a stick at. It really is. Head over to pixelmator.com to find out more, or buy it from the Mac App Store. Now, let's get back to talking about backups, Jordan. What other ways could people be backing up the data on their Macs?
So a Time Machine backup is great to, in case things go wrong, but when you need to restore your Mac, for example, from a system crash, there is a few hours where you're restoring the data back to your Mac's hard drive. So another way people backup is using clones. Effectively, this is having a backup that's running periodically. It requires a bit more setup than Time Machine, but it will clone your Mac's hard drive. So if your hard drive...
this is literally a direct copy of that little box inside your Mac to an external box.
Absolutely. It's a clone so close to the original that if your internal Mac's hard drive was to fail, you could, if you wanted to, boot from that external drive, and it would be as though nothing's changed. You wouldn't notice any physical difference in any way you'd interact with the Mac. It allows for a quicker redundancy. So it allows you to recover more readily and more speedily than restoring all your data from Time Machine, which, although protected, takes some time to do. So for servers, for people who can't afford any downtime, it's an extra level of protection you can have. It's not mutually exclusive, the Time Machine. You don't have to use one or use the other. You can use them both together. But having a clone with apps such as SuperDuper or Carbon Copy Cloner will allow you to have a dedicated hard drive that, should the worst happen, you can at least boot from that hard drive and carry on. It's more of a redundancy against a hardware failure or a complete system error. For example, if a software update didn't go quite right or your hard drive does fail, you can simply boot off the other hard drive and keep working until you get it sorted.
So if I'm understanding correctly, I can use a piece of software such as SuperDuper or Carbon Copy Cloner, take an exact copy of the hard drive in my Mac, copy it to an external box, and should I need to restore my Mac to the time that backup was taken, I'd be able to just reverse the process, or I'd be able to use my Mac and boot from the external drive.
Absolutely. So if the worst comes to the worst, you could at least carry on with your data, carry on where you left off, and as you said, you can replace the drive, and then you can reverse the process, put all the data back to the Mac, and then get yourself up and running again. So it affords you that extra flexibility of having your Mac booted from another hard drive.
Now, you said this can be run in conjunction with Time Machine.
That's right. So Time Machine is the best option for, I'd say, most people or anyone. Carbon Copy Cloner, SuperDuper, these clone backups are great to use for hardware redundancy. However, these types of applications still require a schedule to be set up. They still require, you know, whether you run this daily, whether you run this hourly, whatever. Their interface is not as straightforward or not as easy to use as Time Machine, wherein there is no interface. You know, you can access the hard drive, but it's as though you're accessing the data on your Mac. Time Machine gives you much greater options in restoring deleted files, files you've overwritten by accident. Just restoring files in general is much better through Time Machine than using something like Carbon Copy Cloner or SuperDuper. Whilst the files are copied to the hard drive, it still involves you digging around, trying to find out where the files are.
So with a clone such as software SuperDuper Carbon Copy Cloner and using Time Machine, all I need to do then is have the appropriate software on my machine, go out and buy two external hard drives and plug them into the Mac, one to take the Time Machine backups and one to take the clone.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. So you would have, as you said, one hard drive for Time Machine, one hard drive for a clone drive dedicated for each task. I see these types of backups that use clones more frequently with servers, where if the hard drive was to fail, having a Time Machine backup is great. You won't lose any data, but if you're using it as a file server, you can't afford any downtime for your employees or your staff. With a backup that's a clone, for example, tends to run overnight, maybe say 1 or 2 in the morning when there's going to be no one using it. And if something was to happen to the hard drive or it all of a sudden fails, in the meantime, whilst the Mac is getting sorted, at least it can be booted from the external hard drive and will carry on where it's left off. So
okay,
it's...
so really from what I'm understanding so far, Time Machine is really the default option. Everybody should be using this. Every home user certainly should be using this. And then we move on to clones. This could be for the power user or maybe for the small business as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's for the user that knows a little bit more about the Mac, knows a little bit more about what to do when things go wrong, who can't afford, you know, leaving their Mac running overnight to restore data. They need to get their Mac up and running as quickly as possible.
Okay. Now, one of the things that concerns me, and we've not really addressed, I think we've touched on earlier, but we've not really addressed, I've got my iMac here set up in the office I'm talking to you at the moment. I've perhaps got a box behind it, an external hard drive that is doing the Time Machine backups. I might have a second box which is doing the clones. What happens if my, you know, God forbid my house burns down or it gets burgled and these things get stolen? The backups are then useless, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. We touched upon this earlier when we talked about multiple Time Machine hard drives where, as you quite rightly mentioned, it's something that, you know, you do need to remember to bring that hard drive back, plug it in, take it away. So there are off-site backups available. These are services that you pay a monthly fee for usually. A lot of them you basically pay for web hosting, you pay for file hosting, and you install a bit of software on your Mac. And using your internet connection, your files are backed up to a remote location. This runs almost as frequently as something like Time Machine or a clone backup like Carbon Copy Cloner, and your files are backed up over the internet. A few examples of these are apps such as Backblaze. This is effectively a preference pane. You pay about $10 a month for, and you get unlimited space to back up your data. Any data that you back up is transmitted over the internet and then is kept safe and secure. If something was to happen, like you said before, you know, something catastrophic to your home where your Mac and your backup drives are lost or, you know, irreparably damaged, you have a way of accessing these files. You have a way of recovering. There are some caveats with that. And one of the biggest ones is it relies on a decent internet connection. If you've got, say, a terabyte of data, that's going to take several months on most people's internet connection. So for a full backup, it doesn't tend to be worth it. It tends to be better to back up those more important documents.
So you can be selective in which files or which folders on your Mac Backblaze is going to back up. Is that right?
Absolutely. Because we're planning for worst case scenario, we have to accept some limitations with that.
So, well, I suppose, you know, it makes sense not to be backing up the entire operating system in the machine because I could just reinstall that. I really just need to be updating my home folder. Backing up my home folder.
Exactly. And also, it's always good to remember services like the Mac App Store. You know, any apps you buy through the Mac App Store, you can download again, so they don't need to be backed up. Same if you're using iTunes Match. So if you've got any music within iTunes Match already set up, you don't really need to back up your music library anymore, off-site at least. Again, if you're in one of the regions where iTunes Match allows you to download your movies and TV shows, you don't necessarily need to back these up off-site. They, in a way, already are backed up.
That's an interesting spin on it, really, isn't it, Jordan? It's not really being marketed like that by Apple. iTunes Match has been marketed as a service that allows you to listen to or download your music across any of your Apple devices. I've never really thought of it as a backup service before, but that's exactly what it is as well, isn't it?
Yeah, I've seen a couple of recommendations regarding this, been quite cleverly ways of using iTunes Match to your advantage in a backup sense. So, for example, you know, not to go on a tangent slightly, but the MacBook Air, quite a small hard drive in there with it being a small SSD. If you buy a HD video off the iTunes store, you usually get both the high definition and the standard definition video. It takes up a lot of space, so you don't need to download both of them. You can simply delete it off your Mac, and provided you're an iTunes Match subscriber, you can download that at any time, so you don't need it straight away. In the same way, your data is backed up in the cloud, so to speak, with iTunes Match. Your data is, in a sense, backed up because it's stored on Apple's servers. So if your Mac was to be wiped and you need your iTunes library again, as long as you've got iTunes Match subscription set up, you can access all of your music, movies, TV shows, whatever, and download them again.
Right, I see. Okay, now, this thing, if I've got a lot of data, and like you, I've got a very large iPhoto library, I seem to have thousands upon thousands of photos, because photos are so easy to take these days, and not very few of them are printed off. I don't have photo albums, you know, the books anymore. So I'm backing up my computer, my Mac, to Time Machine, to a clone. I want to back up off-site as well, but I'm concerned about the length of time it might take to back up all this very large data, a number of months. Is there an easier way I could do it? Could I back up my computer and then take that hard drive to another location, perhaps?
Yeah, so there's a couple of options regarding that, and they all revolve around a particular piece of software called CrashPlan. CrashPlan is an extremely popular backup platform. It's used by a lot of corporations, including Apple and Google. They, like I talked about before, with services like Backblaze, they offer a monthly subscription for offsite backups where you can use their server. But you can use their application for free, back up to either an external hard drive, to another Mac on the network, but more than that, you can back up to a friend's computer over the internet, provided you're both running CrashPlan. Now, the beauty of this is you can create a CrashPlan backup on a hard drive first. Then all you need to do is take it to your friend's house, plug in the drive, set up CrashPlan accordingly. It does require a little bit more involvement in the setup, but you can seed your backup, is how it's known. So you can generate that 1 terabyte backup, put it all on the hard drive already, move it to your friend's house, and then you can carry on with that backup. You can continue it afterwards.
Essentially what it's doing then, Jordan, you've done the initial backup locally where it's going to be quicker. You take the hard drive to a remote location, to your friend's house, set up the software there, and then it's doing incremental backups thereafter.
Yeah, absolutely correct. And the benefit is you've still got the option of restoring a file if you've deleted it using the CrashPlan software. And, you know, if your friend's on holiday, you know, vacation, or is otherwise not available, you can restore that file over the internet. But if, you know, the worst happens, you can always go around to your friend's house, pick up the hard drive, bring it back, and restore everything as quickly as restoring from an external hard drive.
Okay. Well, I had a great idea. I could back up all my data to an external hard drive, bring it around to your house, plug it in, and carry on backing up there. But on that Mac, I've got my plans for world domination, and I've got the location of my Swiss mountain hideout. I don't want you to know about those things. So what's the security of my data like?
Well, thankfully for you at least, the CrashPlan backups are all encrypted. And they're encrypted in such a way that, from what I've read, is pretty much impossible without any form of quantum computing. It's 446-bit encryption, which is far more than your Mac's keychain, for example. So everything is not only encrypted and protected in that way, it's also compressed as well. So it will take up a lot less space. One thing CrashPlan does, which is extremely clever, which does use a bit of processing power, is it does something called deduping or deduplicating. Mm-hmm. If you're like me, you've probably got the same file in about 10 different folders. You know, quite a messy Mac user, unfortunately. When CrashPlan's backing up, it analyzes all the data. If it sees the same file in different locations, it only backs up that file once, and then it just links them into the other locations. So if you've got a 1 gigabyte movie in 5 different folders, it's not going to waste 5 gigabytes of space. It'll just back up that file once and put a reference in those places. So I've seen 4 terabyte backups get onto a 3 terabyte drive because of so much duplicate data and because of the compression.
It's sort of doing a bit of housekeeping for you if you're not a particularly good data housekeeper yourself.
Yeah, one of the worries that people have about Time Machine is a worry about growing the backup drive. I always recommend going for a drive that's at least 1.5 to 2 times as big as the drive that's in your Mac. But CrashPlan goes beyond that, compresses the data, and also deduplicates it. So you don't need to be as worried, or you don't need to keep thinking, well, you know, I probably need to tidy this folder up. It's getting backed up all the time. It's just wasting space. CrashPlan at least takes care, like you said, of most of the housework.
Now, you've mentioned the encryption there and about how strong it is. Of course, bearing in mind that the content of my backup contains my plans for world domination, and the location of my Swiss mountain hideout. I don't particularly want the NSA or GCHQ to know about this. Should I add a caveat here that because CrashPlan is an American company, that we should be aware of this?
Well, the encryption itself is peer-to-peer, so CrashPlan don't have any way of accessing your data. If someone took your backup that you had at a friend's house, say, someone broke in here, took my hard drive and took it to CrashPlan headquarters, they wouldn't be able to break that encryption. It's very much an end-to-end encryption process. So all they can do is shrug their shoulders and say, well, unfortunately, that's encrypted between those two people. There's no way we can access that, I'm afraid.
So my plans for world domination are currently safe?
So far, yes.
Excellent. Okay. Are there any other ways in which I should be considering backing up, or in which our listeners should be considering backing up their data from their Mac?
Well, a common way a lot of us do, and I know you're in the same boat as me, is I use Dropbox for all of my documents, and I've also been using it for photo uploads off my phone. I use it so much to the point that my default documents folder on my Mac is actually diverted to Dropbox. So should I need access to any of my documents that I've created, I can always access them on any other computer, either through the browser or through the Dropbox software. Dropbox is designed to be a syncing platform in the same way Google Drive is. So it's not designed to be a backup.
You don't mean disappearing underwater?
Exactly. I mean syncing in the sense of this file
synchronizing.
Will
it's a synchronizing exactly. platform.
Yeah, this file appears on two computers or however many I'm logged into Dropbox on in the same way. If I make a save on one of them, that save is pushed to all the other devices. Now, because it saves all your data to their servers in order to perform this task, in a sense, that's a backup. Dropbox themselves, and as well as Google Drive, don't outright say they are a backup service, but they include backup-like features such as file versioning. If you delete a file or you save a file, Dropbox allows you to access the previous 30 days worth of the version of that file. So if you delete a file, 29 days, you think, probably shouldn't have deleted that. You can get that back by going to Dropbox's site. Same if you save over it. They have an option for unlimited file versioning, which however frequently you update a file or you delete a file, it will always be available, and all the previous versions will be as well. That's a small subscription fee on top of what you would normally pay, but it's there. Google Drive doesn't offer this functionality, save for their Google Docs feature, which includes their text editor and spreadsheet software. So all of those include that as standard as well.
Okay. I mean, so cloud-based document storage as a means of sort of backing up important documents, and that's pretty easy for the home user, certainly, to set up, either using Dropbox or Google Docs or indeed both. And perhaps people should be looking at that because it means that they can see the same document both on their iOS device and on their Mac, and it's going to be essentially off-site on the Dropbox servers as well. When we come to cloud-based document storage, one product I notice you've omitted so far is iCloud, Apple's own cloud-based storage.
Yeah, there's a very good reason for that. iCloud is a great tool that everyone uses on their iPhone, on their Mac, iPad, and it's a great way of syncing data between certain applications that have taken advantage of it. It's by no means in the same boat as Dropbox or Google Drive. It doesn't offer you a direct access to your files. There is no versioning beyond anything that your Mac has in terms of Time Machine functionality. If you delete a file from iCloud or whatever reason it's deleted for you, there's no way of recovering that file. You can contact Apple support. They may be able to help, but there's no redundancy for that. What's more, iCloud data itself that's saved within an app isn't backed up when you back up with Time Machine. So in terms of using it for any type of data redundancy, I'd say that's a big no, simply because it is not designed for that. As I said, Dropbox was never designed to be a backup platform, but it has certain connotations in that way. However, iCloud is very much we sync your data between your devices. That's it. We are not a backup solution. If you do need these backed up,
That's interesting then, isn't it? Because, you know, Apple's really pushing people away from the file system, and on the Mac, trying to get an iOS-like experience where you're in an app and you just save the document. You don't know where it's been saved. You don't care. It's just saved, which is a big departure from, you know, the last 2-3 decades of home computer use or business computer use, where we've had a file system and, you know, we remember where we've saved it, or perhaps we don't, but, you know, we know that it's saved within a file system somewhere. So this is quite a big departure, really, isn't it?
Yeah, and I'm sure at some point in the future, Apple will introduce a time machine-like feature for iCloud, but until that happens, then it's very much a rely on it to synchronize your data, maybe a text file or, you know, a pages document or a number spreadsheet, but make sure you've got that backed up elsewhere. iCloud itself has had a few problems in the past, and some people have lost data, or some people have just deleted a file by accident. When that happens, there is no recourse for that.
Okay, so when it comes to cloud-based document storage, you had Google Docs, Dropbox, and Apple's own solution. Certainly in Apple's own solution, what you're saying is every silver lining has an iCloud.
Absolutely.
And on that bombshell, I'll have to insert some tumbleweed blowing across just there, I think.
Oh, I laughed.
Yeah, it took a moment. Okay, I think we should end it there on a bad joke, shouldn't we? But what isn't a bad joke is the guys at Pixelmator who have sponsored this episode of the MacTuts podcast. It's our first episode, and I really would encourage you to go and check out Pixelmator at pixelmator.com. Fantastic app. If you do anything with images, we do stuff with images every day here on MacTuts Plus. Please check out Pixelmator. Show the guys at Pixelmator your appreciation. And we'd just like to say a big thank you to Pixelmator for sponsoring this pilot episode of MacTuts. I hope that you've enjoyed listening to it. And I hope that you're able to post some comments in the feedback when we publish this podcast on mac.tutsplus.com. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at MacTuts. Thanks very much for listening. Say good night, Jordan.
Good night.
Apple Macintosh.